You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show, the number one talk show on Nibiru, and soon to be number one right here on planet Earth. Some of you are joining us for the very first time. Welcome. We are delighted you're here. I'm delighted you're here, and I think you will be too. Now, today is this is Thursday, so we've got 24 hours before the K-Files e-zine goes out this week. If you have not subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, you need to do so. It is the K-Files e-zine. It is free, no strings attached. You can unsubscribe anytime you decide that's what you want to do. Okay, most people don't. They stay with us forever. But you can, if you so desire, you may unsubscribe. There's an unsubscribe link in each and every edition of the K-Files e-zine. Now, I got some email. You know, I mentioned on the show the other night that we got a new little kitty cat that was running around here in the studio. And she was beginning she was trying to climb one of the tripods for one of the cameras. And she was trying to climb it, and I took something off the desk and just chunked it and hit the leg of the tripod to scare her away from it, which it worked. But I got a couple of emails from a couple of someones, who said, how about showing us the new kitty cat that is roaming around in the studio? Well, I will do that. Let me push the right buttons here. I just so happen to have, or I think I have, yep, there it is. There's a picture of Putty Tat. Her name is Next. And absolutely a wonderful pet. And she's, as you can see in the photograph, she is quite at home here in the studio. But Next is not in the studio tonight. That's a good thing because she's young and she's full of all kinds of energy. And when she decides it's time to play, then by George, it's time to play. And play is what she does. And gets a little bit difficult to do the show with that going on. All right. As I said, tomorrow night, the K-Files e-zine begins going out. You don't want to miss a single edition. There are always links in the K-Files e-zine to interesting stories, interesting sites, interesting videos. Some of them maybe you've seen, some of them maybe you have not. But I put those in each and every edition. It's absolutely free. Now let me ask you a question. If you had the opportunity to make a real impact on the whole issue of UFO disclosure and the issue of, the whole discussion of UFOs. I mean, if you really had the opportunity to make a real impact, would you do it? if someone put together a plan whereby you could, would you participate? Well, we've had Stephen Bassett on the show talking about his plans, and many of you are participating. Tonight we have Jeff Peckman, and we'll be talking about what he is doing in Colorado. And many of you will have the opportunity to make an impact there. We'll be back.
Alien Seeker News.
Pitch information.
On reader stories.
Submit yours.
Audio archives.
The Kevin Smith Show.
Browse the forums.
All free to join.
AlienSeekerNews.com.
Ask yourself one question.
How in the world did I ever get along without it?
Just like you, and his name was Joe. Don't you know we all look like someone else? It's not a big new thing. The world is a circle, and there's your twin standing there across the ring. Because Johnny looks like Freddy, and Jenny looks like Mary. It's a natural eventuality. Joni looks like Tony, and Marty looks like Bobby. Do you know someone who looks like me? Excuse me, ma'am, you look just like a girl I used to date. Excuse me, ma'am, is it possible that you somehow relate? Don't you know we all look like someone else? It doesn't mean I'm her sister. It doesn't give you the right to bug me just because you might have kissed her. Cause Johnny looks like Freddy and Jenny looks like Mary. It's a natural eventuality. Joni looks like Tony and Molly looks like Bobby. Do you know someone who looks like me?
Get it all. Become a member of The Kevin Smith Show at kevinsmithshow.com.
Welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show, where everything always works as it is supposed to, right? Yeah, the automation software that runs the commercials over on the video side failed to pick up and run the commercial break, so it had to be done manually. Anyway, we're off and running, and my guest this evening is Jeff Peckman. He's been with us before. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I am delighted to be back, Kevin.
Jeff, you are the, I guess the founder of a group called Extra. What is that?
Well, it's actually the Extra Campaign, which is the name of the campaign for putting a ballot initiative on the ballot in Denver that would, if passed, it would create the Extraterrestrial Affairs Commission as an official commission within Denver that already has, you know, about 90 boards and commissions anyway. And that would have certain responsibilities, which I'm sure we'll get into.
All right. Now, when you were here before, we did get into that a little bit, and I do want us to get into it again because I think there are a lot of people outside of your area, and maybe in your area, maybe in Colorado, maybe in Denver, that just don't really have a grasp of what it is you're trying to accomplish. Other than the formation of a board, they understand that. But I think there are probably a lot of people that are still wondering, okay, so what is this board going to do? So why don't we deal with that? And then I want to deal with something I saw that's being reported in the newspapers about your efforts now. But let's talk about what is it this board is going to do? Why do you want to do this?
Well, it became clear a couple years ago after I saw a presentation by UFO contactee Stan Romanek that this is a reality that everybody should know about and deal with and make their own decisions about, that we are being visited by extraterrestrial intelligent beings and have maybe for the entire history of our planet. And it was clear that, you know, people were not paying attention. The media was not reporting on it. The government was covering up the information, and most people just did not have a reason to know. I mean, they watch their movies and TV, and they see some science fiction stuff, and they think, well, that's entertaining. But they don't really see a connection with their own life in any meaningful way. And so it seemed important to get this issue in front of the people. And so what it would accomplish is essentially disclosure of this information directly to the people, by the people, at a grassroots level, rather than relying on government. And so the commission really has a few very simple tasks, but very important tasks, and one of them would simply be to collect the best available, credible evidence about these visitations and share that with the general public. Another would be to try to assess the risks and the benefits of interacting with extraterrestrial intelligent beings in all the relevant areas of life, whether it's health, safety, economic development, cultural exchange, cultural enrichment, so all of those issues. And really it's just to take this topic out of the circle of people that, may just be fascinated with it or sort of a hobby, and really get it into the mainstream, get the message to the masses. That's what the commission is all about. And doing this through a ballot initiative is what will engage the people in a way that normally they would not be engaged, because it raises them to the status of a lawmaker, because they'll be voting on this issue to pass it as an ordinance in the Denver, on the law books in the Denver city government. And then when they do that, they are very much more thoughtful in their deliberation, in their decision, much more than I think our elected public servants are when they pass legislation. Because they take it personally. They know it's something that could affect their family, their community, and beyond. So that's really the gist of it.
Okay. Now, I think we touched on this last time when you were with me, but I want to bring it up again. At the federal level, we see people all the time. I mean, this is just frequent, where they're on television talking about liberty and freedom and personal freedoms and so forth, and democracy. They use all the lovely buzzwords. And then a state will do something or refuse to do something that crosses some of the federal plans. And the federal government says, well, you will do this or that, or we will take away your federal highway funds, or we will take away your funding for this or your funding for that. And so the federal government has a real reputation of basically bullying the masses by using dollars to do so. So let me set up a scenario. Let's say that Denver goes to the polls and they vote for this, and they say, okay, we're going to do this. And so it gets passed. And then the feds come along and say to the mayor and to the city council, all right, we don't want this information out there. And, you know, if you do this, we're going to take away funding for this, funding for that, funding for this other thing. We're going to bankrupt your city. What happens then?
Well, there's two things. By the time, if this passes, and by the way, it is does not require any taxpayer money at all. It's all funded by grants, gifts, and donations. That's written right into the ordinance. But if it passes, by that time, the people would be so well informed about this issue that it'd be too late for the federal government to threaten them. The information will have already gotten out there. The commission could still serve a purpose in, you know, putting that information on the Denver government website, having other advisors come in and say, well, this is what we know, and, you know, sharing evidence and all that. But for the most part, the people would have woken up already. And I think at that point, there's very little that the federal government could do, because this is not being passed by the elected legislative bodies. The government would have to come in and basically threaten all the people of Denver.
Well, they have a history of
elected officials.
They actually have a history of doing that sort of thing. We call it the Civil War.
Well, true. I don't think we're up against the Civil War, but
no. But I mean, we know their track record.
Yes.
And they're not above it. If they don't want it, I don't suspect that really good judgment, good sense, and good rationale would stop them. If they don't want it, I would suspect they would threaten.
Well, I have a sense, my feeling is that they would not interfere because it would make things even more difficult. There are people in Congress that agree that this information about extraterrestrial UFOs, the vehicles, and these extraterrestrial beings, that it really should get to the people. But they've told Dr. Stephen Greer in briefings that, you know, for this to happen, it really has to happen at a grassroots level, right? You know, on the front and backyards of the people, because they're stuck. You know, there's all kinds of pressure put on them. But if it's going to happen, grassroots is where it's going to happen the easiest. And I think it will happen in a way that's most honest and effective, rather than having, you know, the alternative is for the head of state or some blue ribbon commission in Washington, D.C., have somebody get on a podium and read a scripted message off a teleprompter. And, you know, I think that's just not going to be very effective, and I don't think that it'll happen until the people themselves disclose what they know. And within the population, there's a lot of evidence about visitations by extraterrestrial entities. The government doesn't have all the evidence. And what they do have, you know, they've destroyed some, they've shifted some to the private sector where it's untouchable by the citizens who want to use the Freedom of Information Act. But they don't have all the information. They can't control all the information getting to people. So I think it's just the right time and the right strategy to achieve a level of disclosure that's going to convince a lot of people that, you know, didn't have any particularly strong convictions anyway. And if they're not convinced by the evidence that's held by their neighbors, their relatives, their friends, their colleagues, the rest of the population, they may not ever be convinced. But I think it will engage the masses in the discussion, and it will elevate the discussion and deepen the discussion as well into more detail than just superficial, you know, mainstream media coverage.
All right. Now, again, assuming that this passes and the commission is formed, what sorts of people would be on this commission, and what sort of safeguards are built into it so that it is not manipulated by, shall we say, covert disinformers that may want to get onto this commission?
Well, there's a couple things. When we talked in March, you know, I told you that this might get revived, and when I did revive it, I changed some things just to give it a little bit more protection. For example, in the earlier version of the initiative, the commission would make recommendations on how the city would spend funds in the Extraterrestrial Affairs Commission fund, which would be funded by grants, gifts, and donations. In this version, I removed the city entirely from any authority. I removed the city officials from any authority in spending the money and left that entirely to the commission itself, so that the city public servants could not just come in and plunder and pillage, you know, and shift the resources to other of their favorite programs. So that was one thing. You know, there's always that risk of somebody infiltrating something. I mean, that goes on everywhere, mm-hmm. on every issue. But the specific requirements were basically upgraded last in a second version of this. This is really the third version, and I intend it to be the last. But, for example, it requires of the seven members, regular members of the commission, and by the way, there can be innumerable advisory members, but there's seven regular commission members. One has to be an expert in witness testimony from people who have previously had top secret security clearance and had direct personal close encounters with extraterrestrial beings or their vehicles. And of course, certain names come to mind, Dr. Stephen Greer, people with the Disclosure Project, some of these military officers, government contractors that, you know, were in those projects, Clifford Stone, different generals, admirals, you know, people that have really been there and seen the stuff. Another expert with a PhD in natural sciences, physics, astronomy, or biology, another with a PhD in social sciences, sociology, political science. But I also changed that all of these people, as sort of an umbrella condition, is that all of them needed to be expert in some area related to extraterrestrial intelligent beings or their vehicles. So, you know, there are certain limitations, and this is really an ordinance. This is not, you know, a change in the city charter or constitution. The city council can actually repeal this after 6 months if they want to. So in that sense, yeah, the federal government can come in and just, you know, coerce each one of the city council members, say, hey, you need to get rid of this. You know, we've let it go for 6 months, now just get rid of it, and okay, that's the end of it. But a lot can be accomplished in the meantime. And again, the campaign itself, the education part of the campaign, once we turn in the signatures, there'll be a few months where it's all about just, you know, people know it's going to be on the ballot, they want to know what it's about, and that in that education period, a lot of different discussions are going to be happening at every level of the community, in schools, neighborhood groups, civic organizations, and that's where the real accomplishment will occur of this ballot initiative, just in educating the masses.
All right. Now, you said something that I want to explore for just a minute. Now, the way this works, it's a ballot initiative. That means then that if it passes, this has come straight from grassroots and people have voted for it. It didn't go through the legislature. It's straight from the people. And the city council can just do away with the will of the people after 6 months. Is that correct?
That is correct. And, you know, these ballot initiative laws, it seems if you look at a map of states that allow ballot initiatives, for the most part, it's west of the Mississippi and, you know, the places that are farthest away from the national capital, which is interesting. You know, the closer you get to the capital, it's sort of the less control people have over their destiny. And the further away, then, you know, we've guaranteed ourselves certain rights. So we at least have the ability in about 10,000 cities and counties and, I don't know, 25 or 30 states to pass laws. People can pass the laws. Now, in Denver, the city council, it used to have some function where they were obliged to put an initiative. Once the signatures were turned in and there were enough signatures, the city council was obliged to consider it and either pass it on their own or send it off to be on the ballot. Well, they've removed themselves from that process, so now they're totally irrelevant. They have a vote, you know, as any other citizen would have, but they're not involved. And in that sense, it is directly of the people by the
people. So why then should...
Part of that law, part of what's happened over the years is that, you know, that was a condition that the city council would be allowed to repeal that after 6 months.
That is just astounding. I have to admit, I was not aware of that provision. It is astounding to me that they would reserve to themselves the right to overrule the will of the people.
Well, that's true. Now, with you know, if we collected half again as many signatures, then I believe, and this was a change to the city charter, then it doesn't work the same way. In order for that to be changed, it would have to go before the people again.
Okay, so then basically you've got a six month shot at this.
Right.
Okay. All right. Now I read in the online news. I forget. It may have been the Denver Sun.
Well, there's the Examiner.
Yeah, I think it was the Examiner.
.com.
It may have been there. About the your plans to use the services of charitable groups to help you gather all the signatures that you need. Explain that to us. How is that going to work, and why are you doing that?
Actually, it's different than that. It's the charitable organizations would be the beneficiaries of our campaign, which is collecting the signatures.
Hate to do it. We got a break taking over. So we're going to have to step away just for a few minutes, and we'll come back and pick up right there with the discussion about the charitable groups. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and to my guest. My guest is Jeff Peckman. Jeff, we just started your explanation about how the charitable groups are involved, and the break took over. So let's back up. I had asked the question about their involvement. My understanding was that they would be involved in gathering the signatures. You said that's not the case. It's something different. So let's pick up there and move forward.
Yes, okay. Well, we did a little bit of fundraising, and with a ballot initiative, you know, it gets special treatment because it's something, it's a right of the people. So there are no limitations on how much people can contribute to a ballot initiative campaign, and doesn't matter who they are either. I mean, foreign persons, I mean, the money can come from anywhere in any amounts because it's all, you know, the disclosure is the critical part of it. Who is paying into the, you know, donating money into the campaign. So some money was donated. And the idea to work with charitable causes actually was inspired by some of the people who were going to collect signatures. I was prepared to compensate them for their time and effort in going out and collecting the signatures, and that's a very common thing, and I was happy to do that. But many of them were just happy to do it and to volunteer their time. And quite a few of them were musicians, and they perform around town at different clubs and festivals and the like. And so the idea just kind of sprouted that, well, you know, the money is there. Let's at least have somebody benefit from this money. And so let's do this. We will, for example, this coming weekend is the People's Fair in Denver. 250,000 people will be down there. It's arts and crafts and music, 4 stages. It's really a major thing. And we have a booth there. So we thought, okay, well, let's, for every person, and it's being sponsored by the Capitol Hill United Neighborhoods, a very well-known organization here. So they have a program to help the homeless in their area. So we thought, well, for every person, instead of paying the petitioners, for every signature that's collected at the People's Fair, we'll donate $1 to the sponsoring organization of the fair, to their favorite homeless assistance program. And so then, a couple weeks later, there's another large festival in the black community called Juneteenth. And there's a organization there, Brother Jeff. He does a lot of inner-city work, work with the homeless. So we thought, all right, we're going to have a booth there. For every dollar we collect there, we'll donate that to that community organization. So we called it the Welcome to Earth Project, which really has two sides to it. One is just to acknowledge that, yes, we are being visited by extraterrestrial intelligent beings. The government's known about it for 60 years. They've covered it up. So we, the people of this planet, will welcome these extraterrestrial intelligent beings ourselves and just be, you know, offer a friendly gesture. We'd like to get to know you, you know, kind of a meet and greet. Just that would be the theme. But the other side of it is that it's a reminder to our human population that we're also guests on this planet. And we should consider ourselves that way and treat our host planet with more respect and more care. So hopefully it'll achieve both of those things. And in the course of doing this, providing the donations to the charitable causes, then we're bringing together the musicians, the charitable cause itself, the donors who would like to support this, and the ballot initiative petitioners. And really, we're hatching several birds with one egg, so to speak. And just to bring everybody together in that atmosphere, especially in an atmosphere of festivity and celebration, which I think that brings out the best of humanity. And just in that atmosphere, just to celebrate life, to, you know, feel harmony with each other, to enjoy the talents, the creativity of each other. So that was really the theme, this Welcome to Earth project as part of the Extra campaign. That's how it evolved. And so we hope that out of this will be some, contributions to these different charitable causes in a way that satisfies different needs. Musicians will get more recognition. They'll see how they can use their music to raise money for, you know, the organizations. And one other theme that's part of that is, in the course of doing this, we will be highlighting the fact that vast, vast amounts of money at the federal level are squandered, wasted. I mean, there's so much fraud, you know, in terms of hundreds of billions and even trillions of dollars that have been not acknowledged at the federal level as not being accounted for, that we'd like to see more public attention on that so that that can come back to the local communities to support not only the charitable causes, but local city government services for the needy and that sort of thing. So it's a kind of an awareness-raising strategy as well.
How many signatures do you have to have in order for this to make it to the ballot?
Just under 4,000 valid Denver signatures.
Okay, now how do they go about proving that these are valid Denver signatures?
They will check each signature against the records, voter registration records, and which means, you know, people have to write the information clearly enough on the petition so that it can be read and compared. And that's how they do it. They'll go through every single signature.
All right, so you have to have just under 4,000. Have you started collecting signatures already?
Just barely. The petition was approved on May 4th, and the last few weeks I've been doing some fundraising and organizing petitioners. So this weekend is really the first major effort to go out and collect the signatures. So we haven't even made a dent. Maybe there's 100 signatures that have been collected by people here and there, but this would be the first of many thrusts to go out as a group and collect signatures.
All right, now you've been dealing with this for months. You started, and then you decided to back off, and then you decided to move forward again. What is the, from your perspective, what's the temperature in Denver relative to this initiative?
You mean receptivity or success?
Mm-hmm. Receptivity.
Well, the people that have been collecting signatures have found that there's a lot of receptivity. And I run into people all the time. If I have to go and get something notarized, the person sitting in the bank will say, you know, my father saw some flying saucers, or I'll go somewhere else. Somebody, I was mowing the lawn, and somebody walked across the street and said, you know, my neighbor in Connecticut had an incident at his house where there was an extraterrestrial being there, and it was known, and the government, the black ops helicopters showed up, and they put a big tent over the house. And, you know, so you know, there's a lot more going. There's a lot under the surface. And I think people are genuinely supportive of the idea that, you know, the government's controlled this information for too long. It would be helpful if we get it out. So I'm optimistic based on reports that I've heard. There's, you know, we haven't taken a professional scientific poll to find out what the sentiment is right now. I mean, that runs about $10,000, and we just as soon, you know, get the signatures and then start educating people and then see.
Yeah, and you know those polls are not always very accurate. I mean, everyone who has ever run for political office, virtually everyone who's run for political office has paid for polls. And remember exactly, well, I started to say exactly half. That's not always the case, but at least half of the people who run for political office and pay for polls don't get elected. So those polls are not always that helpful.
Right.
All right. Now, you, as I said, you've been dealing with this now for several months. And at one point, you decided to back off and wait for a while. Explain to us what that was about. Why did you decide to back off of this and wait for a while?
Well, it turned out to be a real blessing that we did. But the reason was, when this first started last April, I thought, okay, this has the potential to bring awareness to the Stan Romanek case and a lot of this information, and because I've seen the media was not paying attention. So I started the ballot initiative and figured, all right, it'll take us a few months to collect the signatures, and when we turn it in, that's when the media starts paying attention, when it's on the ballot, because then it's real. Well, that caught me by surprise instantly, you know, right from the day one, literally, the media found out about the initiative, and then it was about 6 weeks of almost nonstop interviews. And I thought, well, that's all right, because the reason I'm doing this is to bring attention to these UFO contactee cases. And when that was happening, you know, the petitioning part of it just had to get set aside because I was able to reach a lot of people through the mainstream media. But that used up most of the petitioning time to get on the November ballot. And then by mid-July, we just were not anywhere near where we needed to be to have the signatures for the November ballot. Then I revised it. I thought, all right, we're not going to make November. It'll automatically go to next May. So I took the opportunity to make some important changes in it. But that meant starting over. And then the city attorney said, well, look, if this is on in May of 2009, it might be the only thing that's on the ballot. There's nobody running for election. There's no city bonds, none of the other usual stuff. And that could cost over $500,000 to hold the election. So I thought, well, I knew that the city council had the ability, the authority to pass the initiative on their own. And then, and I said, well, I'll offer that to them, give them 30 days to do it. And they didn't, of course. And by that time, it was just about ready. It looked like Obama was going to get elected president. And we knew that there were a number of people close to his campaign, very key figures, who were very, very strongly supportive of the government releasing information about UFOs and extraterrestrial entities to the extent that that was known. And so I thought, all right, well, we don't want to cost the city $500,000, and it looks like this could happen at a federal level, so let's just table it for now. It won't have any impact on us getting on in November 2009 to just set it aside. So I told everybody to stop petitioning. I started also, a few of us started writing articles for Examiner.com. I'm the Denver UFO Examiner, and my column happens to be number one in the country in the category that I write for. And I think it's because there's a lot of interest. So that's what we did for a while, and let Obama, you know, do what he was going to do. And by about mid-March, actually, when I was on your show last, it became pretty clear that, you know, this isn't going anywhere at the federal level. It just isn't. And at that time, instead of being disappointed, I thought, you know, it shouldn't go anywhere at the federal level, because the last people we want involved in disclosing this very important issue, this information, is the federal government. I thought, they would totally mess it up. And so I figured, well, this really is our task. I mean, there are a few really important things, like becoming an independent country in the first place, that really should be done by, the people. Just declaring that, all right, we're going to disclose what we know to ourselves, to each other. And I think that's just the very best way for it to be done. And when we take the lead, I think the federal government will probably jump in at some point when they see that they're getting ignored and that they're out of the loop and irrelevant. And then I think it could happen at the federal level, but I don't even really think that's necessary. I think there's so much that I've learned, so much evidence I've come across during those months since I started, that it's clear that there's plenty of very good evidence in the public, private sector, amongst the people, that if even that was shared with the masses, I think most of the population would say, well, I guess it's for real, We don't need to have the government make this decision for us.
Well, I agree that we don't need the government to pat us on the head and say, yep, you saw what you saw. But I do have a question about how this is going to be different. And we'll do that when we come back. We have to step away for a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this.
Out of the loop, sign up for the K-Files e-zine at kevinsmithshow.com.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Jeff Peckman. Now, Jeff, when we had to step away, I said there was a question I wanted to ask, and here's what it relates to. You're talking about how this initiative is all about creating a framework where we do disclosure basically to ourselves, right?
Right.
Okay. How is that different from what's already taking place? I mean, you've got the Disclosure Project, you've got all the writings of Dr. Michael Sala and his group, you've got Project Camelot, you've got this show, you've got Coast to Coast, and hundreds of shows where people are coming on and talking about all of these various facets of the UFO phenomena. So how would creating this commission be different from what we have right now?
Well, the difference would actually be prior to the commission being created. And that difference is that in a ballot initiative, not only do the mainstream media pay a lot more attention and write more in-depth articles about the issue, presenting both sides of the case, but the initiative itself legitimizes the discussion of these topics in every kind of environment. For example, in schools, you'll have entire classrooms that will take on this issue and hold a mock election, and they'll be their classwork will be to go deeply into the issue, to study the arguments, to debate it in class, to write papers, and to have this as their homework. And these young students, you know, you're familiar with the terms star seeds and indigo children. And there's just a lot of very, very special children sitting in these schools who will probably have a better comprehension of this whole topic than many adults. And so that's one thing that will happen, and they will become really quite fluent in discussing these topics. They'll get information. The kind of information that you just talked about, coming from all these other people, will be available to them, but in a time when, you know, they're paying attention, they're required to dig into the issue. So that's one very big difference. You know, a teacher can't just walk into a classroom these days and say, okay, class, today we're going to talk about UFOs, and extraterrestrial beings. You know, it just doesn't happen. But when it becomes somewhat of a civic duty to look into the issue, well, then the neighborhood groups will invite a speaker, maybe one representing each side of the argument, to their monthly neighborhood meetings. Civic associations will discuss this and say, well, how does this impact our community? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? So the difference is that disclosure is one thing. But by itself, if nobody's listening, if the media's not paying attention, then, you know, you're just preaching to the choir, as they say. And so the real difference is that during the ballot initiative campaign itself, the world's going to pay attention. And I've been through this twice, where an unusual ballot initiative really captured the attention of the world press. And it was front page news all over, and there's big, huge articles and a lot of discussion going on. It really does become the talk of the town and the talk of the nation. And you can't say that about these other disclosure efforts. They certainly had the qualified people to disclose information, like the Disclosure Project. We have all these whistleblowers. But really, when you look at it, it did not create a big sensation in the media or in the classrooms across the country and the world. That is the difference. It creates an environment where the people pay attention more than they will at any other time. And so that's where the transition will come, when you have the masses that are really engaged in the discussion and the deliberation.
Let me describe for you what I see as a difference. And it supports what you're saying, but maybe from a little bit different perspective. And it's from, I guess, it's from a perspective that is admittedly colored by having been an international police officer and then having sat at this microphone for 9 years and interviewed lots and lots of people and also having taken mass media to task over and over again. So all that's in the mix. Admittedly, what I'm about to say is biased from that perspective. But it's my perception, having worked for and having been around politicians, they will not do anything at all out of a sense of being forced to do something. Except, they, you know, if they're about to be indicted, they sometimes will resign. Other than that, you can't force them to do anything. It has to be in their own best interest to do anything. They have to see some benefit for them and for their political career in order for them to do anything. So Jeff Peckman standing up in Denver and saying, hey, folks, I think that the UFO phenomena is real. That's not news, and the newspapers don't get involved with that. But when Jeff Peckman stands up and says, let's get a ballot initiative going, okay, that's news, and so the media gets interested in that. And it's, you know, a little bit of interest. If this thing passes, there's going to be a lot of media attention on the fact that the people of Denver, the people of Denver, see, now they're not talking about Jeff Peckman. They're talking about Jeff Peckman and all these people that voted for it. Now, that's big news, that there were a lot of people that voted for this, and it passed. Now it begins to look as if there may be some benefit for a politician to step forward and get in front of that parade. And maybe I'm a little cynical, but that's because only because I have known some of these people and have been around them and have not seen much altruism in them. It's really all about what's best for their political career. But once the people stand up, then that is very definitely in the best interest of a politician to get in front of that parade. Once the parade is started, they don't want to be left behind. And if this catches on, if it passes in Denver and it catches on around the country where other cities are having ballot initiatives, or maybe even at a state level in some cases, that's really going to get the attention of the politicians. And proof of this is the relatively small but very visible and vocal group that brought the non-security of our southern border to the attention of Washington, D.C., and had Washington, D.C. running for cover. And they quickly passed all kinds of things. We're going to build a fence. Don't do this. Don't do that. We're going to build a fence. Okay. But that brings up something else. They appropriated some money. They sort of started building a fence that they promised. And now there's a new administration that says we're going to tear down the fence. So if this stampedes them into being open, if this stampedes the politicians into saying, "Yeah, we've got to disclose this," I predict you have a very short, small window in which disclosure will take place from them, and then it will shut down just as soon as there's a new administration. What do you think about that? Now, I'm cynical about this. I'm not against what you're doing. I'm cynical in terms of performance out of Washington. They've been making failing grades now for several decades. So what do you think?
Well, I agree with you entirely that the politicians are public servants. You know, they are servants. They're not the masters of our destiny, and this is such an important issue. I think that's why we have to take it on ourselves. But as much respect as I have for Dr. Stephen Greer and Dr. Stephen Bassett, I have no interest in talking with politicians in Washington, D.C. or expecting anything from them, because I know that what the real accomplishment will be at the local level. And there comes to be a point where, you know, trying to, as you say, pressure politicians into doing anything is really like, you know, pounding on the service entrance of our own house and being thrown a few, you know, crumbs once in a while and feeling happy about it or encouraged, when at any time we can just walk around to the front door of our own house and just regally walk in and just take control of the situation. So that's what this ballot initiative is doing.
And I fully agree with that.
I'm sorry?
I fully agree with what you just said. But let's forget the guys at the politicians at the federal level. That's the ones that I've seen and had the most contact with. When we come back from this break, let's talk about the politicians at your local level, that city council, that wouldn't do anything with this on their own. Let's talk about them. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Jeff Peckman. Jeff, when we went away, I said, let's talk about these politicians at the local level. Now, you went through a phase here where you tried to allow the city council to enact this on their own, and they didn't do it. And that, you know, I'm not surprised, actually, but that's indicative of what I'm talking about. The politicians at any level, regardless of how responsive they may attempt to be for the people that have put them in office, and some of them are conscientiously trying to be responsive to the people that put them in office. But regardless of that, they are very, very focused on getting reelected. And you know, if until it appears to them that there is a groundswell of support for something, very few of them get out on the front bumper and become the champions of anything. They only get in front of something after the parade has started. And that's my opinion, and I'm not asking whether you agree with that or not. I'm just simply stating that as my opinion. Now, having said that, what is the temperature in the city council regarding this?
Well, I would say at present, they all think that it's a waste of time. But what you just described, I agree with entirely, and that actually works in our favor if this initiative passes. Because just as they would not try to move it forward unless, you know, there were thousands of people camping on their doorstep every day, I don't think that they're going to take the initiative to try to repeal it, since it's not costing the taxpayers any money. There are community groups, but if it does pass, it means that a lot of very significant community groups, and obviously the majority of the voters in that election, favored this. So for them to try to remove something that doesn't cost the taxpayers money anyway, and already got the support of the taxpayers, and is not really, you know, it's not conflicting with anything else the city's doing, so it's not causing any harm, I believe that they would not have any reason to approach that. They just leave it alone. As long as it's self-funding and achieving something, then I just don't think that they'll take the initiative to do anything about it, to repeal it.
All right, let's talk about the reality of the power of money. Anyone who thinks that money is not king in America has not been in America more than an hour, because the harsh reality is that almost everything is controlled by those who control the money. It's the golden rule. Those who have the gold make the rules. Let's talk about an example or two, and then I'll apply it to your situation. The reason you get the pablum and babble and drivel that you get in mass media is because that's what the sponsors want. That's what the people who are paying the bills want. They don't want hard-hitting investigative reporting because that's bad for business. That's their perception of it. They want it to be fun and light, and they want it to be news is more entertainment now than it is really news. And that's true at every one of the news networks. There, it's more about entertainment and ratings than it is about news. Now, whenever a show doesn't meet the requirements of the sponsors go in and say, we're not going to buy any more advertising time on this show. And so the network cuts the show. Or they fire the host and get someone else. So it's the people with the wallets that actually run things. It's really not the network executives. It's the people that pay the bills. Now, your city council is, and not just your city council, every political body in America is highly sensitive and responsive to their sponsors, not just the voters, but the people that put the bucks into the campaigns. So what if you run into a situation here where it looks like, you know, the people are really behind this and they vote for it, it passes, and then your business community is talking to the politicians behind closed doors and saying, okay, we don't think this is good for Denver, and you guys didn't put a stop to it, so we're going to replace you. What do you do then?
Well, I think I would wait and cross that bridge if it happens. But we do have some strategies that I'm not going to discuss here.
Okay.
But for example, you know, one of the most vocal opponents is probably going to be a city councilman who, for him to get on the city council in his most recent term, it only required collecting 100 signatures to get on the ballot. He ran unopposed and yet still raked in well over $100,000 in campaign contributions. So, you know, what that says is that people just want to remind him where he owes his allegiance, which is exactly what you're talking about.
That's correct.
And that, you know, that sort of stuff will come out. My sense of it is that at that point, everything you've said actually works in our favor, and if in fact it does come to pass that the commission itself is disbanded by a vote of the city council, by that time, we will have already achieved so much in terms of educating the public, not only in Denver, but, you know, around the nation and the world, that it won't matter. It won't be any great tragedy. Because one of the things that will also occur during the education campaign is the creation and distribution of what we've called a citizen's briefing document. And that will have just tremendous power, I think, because it will have transcripts of some of the whistleblower testimony that you've talked about with the Disclosure Project. It will have quotes by, you know, people like William Colby saying that everyone of any significance in the media is owned by the CIA. You know, and the general public doesn't know these things. So I think when they really become alert to these kinds of facts, then I think it's just going to become increasingly harder for this city council to react. I mean, at some point, you know, maybe they do get replaced. I mean, quite a few of them, I think, are term limited anyway. So it won't matter. They're going to have to go. So I honestly think they just won't touch it.
Well, you know, there is another dimension, too, and that is that everyone who votes for this also spends money. And so the businesses could be perhaps influenced or encouraged by, you know, people voting with their wallets as well. You know, hey, you get behind this and support it, and we do business with you. If you don't support this, if you oppose it, well, we're going to boycott you.
Sure. And, you know, another thing, Kevin, is that over the course of this, there will be a lot of discussion about the potential for deriving clean, advanced energy technologies which can replace fossil fuels. Now, of course, you go up against the fossil fuel industry. But the people, when they see the impact of this potentially in their own lives, they're going to support it for that reason. And of course, as we wean ourselves from dependence on fossil fuels, it just means that, you know, people that used to work in the fossil fuel industry will start shifting over to all the other new businesses and industries that grow up around clean energy. I mean, Colorado is known for having a clean energy economy, being a leader in that renewable energy economy. And the main reason for that is because the citizens 5 years ago passed an amendment to the Constitution that required a renewable energy portfolio in the state's energy industries. And that's what really kick-started this whole green energy economy here. And that's what everybody was talking about when Obama signed the stimulus bill here at the Museum of Science and Nature. So you see, the people have already wielded power in that direction already. So if we come in and align ourselves with that mindset, that, yeah, there are other sources of clean energy technologies that just happen to be extraterrestrial, and this is part of what the government's been hiding, I think that's going to give us strength as well.
All right, tell you what. You've really got your work cut out for you. I have another question or two here, one more, and then we'll open up the telephone lines for our audience to call in. Let's sort of set aside this initiative for just a moment. And let me just ask Jeff Peckman a question aside from the initiative. This question is about contact. And I'm talking about extraterrestrial contact with Earth in such a way that is totally unambiguous. I don't know by what scenario, but some really unambiguous event out in the open contact. How do you see that? How inevitable is that? Is it inevitable?
I'm not sure. I sort of go different ways in thinking about that, because we've been acclimated to this reality for so many decades through all of our TV shows and movies that relate to contact, that, you know, I think if there was a little gray ET walking down the street in the middle of Manhattan, I think a lot of people just wouldn't pay much attention. It just, maybe they'd wave, smile, think, well, you know. But I don't actually expect that there's going to be one single event, visible event, unambiguous event as you described it, that's all of a sudden going to totally turn the tide throughout the whole world. I think it's going to be more of an increasing number of events, so that, you know, from just different hubs of influence, different contacts going on throughout the world, that the influence of that will grow within those communities to a point where our whole population will already have the proper mindset. Or rather, I think that the unambiguous contact will come at the end of that process rather than initiating a sudden, you know, upswell of belief. I think it will be more the final confirmation that, you know, we're all kind of at a level where, yeah, we're all believing this, we all expect it, we all want it, it's okay with us, we've matured enough, we've got our act together, we're cleaning up our planet. Now, you know, would you please just show yourselves, just so that we know this isn't such a big waste of time? You know, I think it'll come at the end of a more organic, incremental escalation of our readiness instead of at the beginning. And I think that escalation of our readiness is happening faster and faster right now. So I guess that's the way I see it.
All right. I want to open up the telephone lines so people can call in with their own questions or comments. And I know that there are people around the United States and possibly in other countries that are interested in getting something started like this in their area, where they can get it on the ballot in their area. Well, folks, here's the guy to talk to. He's, as far as I know, the first one who has done this and is doing it. And so if you have a question or a comment for Jeff, the telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. Now, if you are in Canada or if you are in the United States, please call us on that telephone number, all right? Now, if you're outside of Canada and you're outside of the United States, you can call that number. It will work from anywhere in the world. You can call that number, and it will work. But if you don't want to pay the international long-distance charges, what you can do is you can send us a flash message. Now, a flash message works like this. You just go over to my website and scroll down, and you'll see a link that says flash message. And you can send me a flash message. It'll begin to flash on my screen over here that I have received a message. And I'll read it, and we'll ask Jeff to comment on it, all right? All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I have pretty much the same question that I had for Steve when you had him on a couple weeks ago. I think it was Steve, wasn't it?
Steve Bassett?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on.
Yeah. I want to ask, because like you say, when they, you know, whether the government steps up to a podium or this gentleman, you know, and his group starts releasing this information, they are going to have to portray these entities in some kind of light, you know, like I said before, good, bad, or ugly. Like he said, he says, gray walking down the street, you know, and you're going to say hi to it. Well, personally, I might think he's a demon, and I don't want to say nothing to him. So, you know, I like, you know, what his opinion is on how this is going to be portrayed to the people, you know, and, you know, on an honest basis, you know, of what they are and what they want. I think that's what people are mostly going to want and need to know.
And, all right. How would you portray extraterrestrials to the people, and what light would you cast them? Well, he hung up. All right. What about that, Jeff?
Hopefully you can still hear the answer. Well, the benefit of this ballot initiative is not really to promote any particular vision of what these extraterrestrial entities are like, but rather to engage the population in such an enormous way where it's really the focus and the talk of the town, okay? Mm-hmm. And in that, then it's really up to, you know, I want to create a massive audience to hear the kind of questions that Terry just asked, to bring up those issues. That's really the purpose of this ballot initiative. I'm not an expert I don't have any personal experiences with them, but I know other people that do. And so this really just creates a forum for a discussion on a massive scale where all these very important questions are asked, but they're being heard by, you know, many, many times more people than have ever heard them before. And I think that's the contribution of this ballot initiative. Personally, I think there's a wide range of motivations and intelligences and life forms throughout the universe, just as there is on our planet. And I'm not in a camp that says they're all demonic or that they're all our best friends and going to save our planet, because, you know, there's diversity everywhere. And so I think the important thing is that people are alert to the fact that there are extraterrestrial entities, that there could be a full range, and that's why the ballot initiative is very specific in requiring the commission to start initiating an assessment on both the risks and the benefits of interacting with these extraterrestrial entities.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don, calling from Phoenix.
Yeah, Don.
How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Jeff.
Hello, Don.
Yeah, I can agree with Terry. I think, first of all, we do want disclosure, and that's number one. And I think we're going to see disclosure, within the next decade, if not sooner. It's been picking up momentum, like with people like you, Stephen Bassett, and just a whole host of people coming forward, military people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is all just like a snowball rolling down the hill. We are it's building, and we're going to see something break pretty soon. But after disclosure, people are immediately going to want to know what the alien agenda is, and why has the alien agenda been kept from us? And there's a strong question: is the alien agenda something very sinister? Is that why the governments of the world have been keeping the alien agenda from us? And that's a strong possibility.
Well, yeah, I agree. And it's equally a strong possibility that the aliens have beneficial technologies that conflict with the very industries and the profit motive of people that own our politicians, as referring back to what Kevin said before. So both of those sides need to be brought to the people, to the masses of the people, not just our own little group that keeps listening to these radio shows week after week, but to engage people who have never really had a reason to think about it. That's right. What this initiative is about.
And I think the majority of people are those people. In spite of the polls you hear out there saying that a large percentage of people believe in UFOs and aliens, I don't go along with that. I think the polls are done to people who give a flippant answer. And they say, yeah, I believe in life, in the universe. But, when they're confronted with a neighbor or a friend saying, well, I was abducted, then these people, they kind of look at you oddly. So I don't think the majority of people realize how close down to earth this whole event actually is.
Right, and this is going to flush out a lot of the true sentiments of the community, not just in Denver, but elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, Jeff.
All right,
thanks
for the call, Don. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. And if you have a question or a comment for Jeff Peckman, or a question or comment related to this initiative that he's trying to get on the ballot in Denver, that's the telephone number to call. Or you can send me a flash message if you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada. All right? Now, Jeff, we talked about what would happen once this thing, you get enough signatures, and now it's going to be on the ballot. And you said there will be some lots of activities that get spun up as related to this, including, the media starting to report more on it and presenting both sides and so forth. Now, again, I am admittedly biased on this. Not emotionally, but as someone that has spent a life looking at evidence of one kind or another over a number of years. How can they present both sides? That's like saying we're going to have a debate now, and we're going to present both sides as to whether basketballs exist. Because, there's not two sides to it. There is the informed, and there are the ignorant. And by ignorant, I don't mean stupid. I mean, there are those who are informed, and the evidence is in. Basketballs do exist. And anyone who would come on and debate that they don't would be seen as foolish. So how is it that they can present both sides of an issue where even the government has admitted in writing that UFOs are real? I have to hold up and get your answer after the break. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. welcome back. We had to cut away right at the break, and I want to give you a chance to respond.
Okay. You're asking about the kinds of arguments that might be made for or against the initiative. Well, Kevin, as you know, in the realm of people promoting the idea that these UFOs and entities are from extraterrestrial origin or trying to debunk those ideas, there's a full range of arguments that are made. Anywhere from, you know, people just saying, you know, the other guy is stupid. Don't believe
it. Well, yeah, and that truly is not the case many, many times. Some highly intelligent people simply take the other side. But I was talking about specifically the issue of whether there is such a thing as unidentified flying objects. We still have people trying to make the case that there are not. And, in fact, there are. And the government has admitted it in writing in an official report called Project Blue Book.
Correct. And there's really two things that will, there's two kinds of arguments, I'd say categories of arguments. One will be whether or not these UFOs and visitors from outer space are real. The other is whether or not we need a commission in Denver to deal with this issue. And so I think all of the arguments will fall into one or other of those categories. And, you know, people may just say, okay, doesn't matter if they exist or not. We just don't need to burden our city government with another board. We already have 90 boards. We don't need another one. We don't need 91.
Mm-hmm.
There will be people that will say that. Others that will say, well, you know, this is just not relevant to our city life. So all these arguments, you know, and things that I can't even imagine and you can't imagine, they're going to come up. And that's part of the fun of one of these initiatives is you really don't know for sure what cards your opponents are going to play.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's what engages the population the most is, it becomes a little bit of a contest of who's got the best logic, who's got the best evidence, who's got the best argument, and which way am I going to vote based on that information. So that is something that really engages the population and the media. And whereas before, you know, last year, even without telling the media, you know, they found out about my ballot initiative, and then it ended up being 6 weeks of interviews and on David Letterman and Geraldo and Larry King and all that from zero. To all of that all that publicity, but it was still very superficial publicity. When you're actually on the ballot, then you're going to find, you know, full pages of the newspaper with in-depth stories about related topics and the ballot initiative itself. They'll print the text of the initiative. They'll print, you know, they'll probably have me make a, or somebody representing the campaign make a pro statement. Somebody else that they can find will make a statement against the initiative, you know, so they really play it up because it becomes a contest.
Denver is one of the places, Denver, there are quite a number of places, Phoenix is one, where big name celebrities have their homes. Or at least their summer home or their winter home or something, but you have big name celebrities in the Denver area. Have any of these people indicated that they would be interested in supporting this? And if there are none that have indicated this, do you foresee any joining up with the campaign?
Well, I do foresee that. They have not offered from their side, and I haven't asked. Because, quite frankly, until we collect the signatures, there's nothing for them to endorse.
Do you think they will, though? You think they will?
I wouldn't ask them to waste an endorsement or a statement of support for this campaign until we actually have done our work and collected all the signatures to put it on the ballot.
But do you think they will?
I do. They may or not be from the Denver area, but there are certainly people all over the country I mean, look, there are billionaires, half a dozen billionaires that are already funding some kind of, search for extraterrestrial intelligence or life in outer space or, you know, buying up evidence or paying MUFON UFO investigators to be first response teams when there's some new evidence. You know, Robert Bigelow out of Las Vegas is doing that. So I think once this is actually set and on the ballot, it's going to open up a whole new realm of endorsements and arguments and, you know, people showing up and well-known scientists and astronauts, you know, showing up in Denver. And it's going to be a little bit of a free-for-all, you know. But that's great. It'll engage the people.
All right, so at the moment, you're in the stage or in the phase where you have to get almost 4,000 signatures of Denver residents that are bona fide Denver residents. Let's say you get that done, and now we're headed towards the ballot, okay? What do you think the chances are that it will pass?
I think it's good. I think it's good because by that time, you know, peripheral things are happening around the world. There's increasing number of, you know, government X-files, UFO files being released in different countries. It's just sort of the whole thing is warming up. There's an increased number of sightings of UFO reports. There's more talk on TV. In mainstream television, you know, Larry King has done a lot of great shows on this in the last year. And so, I'm not convinced either way, but I feel right now that it will do well and could pass by at least a small margin.
Okay, now, assuming that it does pass, do you think this will have any effect? Because, and the reason I'm asking this is you mentioned earlier that, it looked like at one point it looked like Obama was going to possibly win the election and that he had people close to him in the campaign who pretty much are on record as being pro-disclosure. All right, so assuming this passes, he got elected, he is in the White House now. What effect, if any, do you think this might have at a national level on the whole thing about getting disclosure from? I know you're not concerned about it, but what effect do you think it might have getting disclosure from the feds?
I think if this passes, I think that will trigger much more serious discussion from the federal level, because they will not be able to avoid questions from the media at that point. I think the media is going to really jump on this and start asking the very questions that they should have been all along. And, Obama grew up, he rose up in politics through community organizing. And I believe that if he sees that community organizing resulted in this issue becoming the talk of the nation, I believe that he will pay attention and really start preparing himself for the inevitable kinds of questions that are going to come up everywhere. I mean, as recently as a year and a half ago, he said he didn't know anything about life outside of Earth. And when he was asked a little bit later during the campaign, he said, well, I'd want to know if they were Republicans or Democrats. Now, I don't think that the independent voters would, you know, appreciate that. So I think it is going to become a political issue, and they will have to start answering questions. And at that point, if the general population seems so much more informed about this very important issue than the president of this country, well, I don't think he's going to want to be seen as ignorant on this topic when there is that kind of attention. So, you know, people at our campaign website at extracampaign.org, you know, we'll try to post information to keep people up to date. We'd still like to receive even small donations. I sent out an email, you know, saying, well, pay $10 for the disclosure show, you know. You can afford this. It'll be better than any movie that you've seen. And I'd still welcome that from people, because it's such a highly leveraged kind of campaign that even a few dollars will produce tremendous results, and it means, you know, I think I calculated that every $10 donation would result in about 100,000 people being able to hear, you know, and pay attention to this information. So when that's happening on that scale, a genuine grassroots campaign that's making such a big impact, I'm pretty sure that the politicians will pay a lot more attention than they have up to this point when they thought they could get by comfortably with ignoring it.
Have you had any of the local politicians or even perhaps at the state level that have sort of publicly ridiculed the whole idea?
Maybe just a little bit at the very beginning when the first draft actually included, you know, $75,000 from the city budget that would, you know, be kicked in to help fund the thing. But that wasn't really necessary, and that was taken out before we even ever started collecting signatures. It was just a very early draft. And at that point, but after that, no, I don't remember them actually saying much. You know, if anything, it's, oh, you know, it's just silly little green men and that sort of thing. But that particular politician isn't taken very seriously anyway by a lot of Denver's population. He's sort of a backwards guy. And
well, anybody that would bring up little green men should not be taken seriously. That was invented by the media. Nobody in ufology ever brought up little green men. It was a media invention.
Right.
And then they pull it out and use it to try and whip us with ridicule as if we said that. That's their invention. That is their dirty underwear, not ours.
Right, right. And, you know, to be honest with you, Kevin, because of my relationship with the media in Denver, the ones that actually interview me, they do much better and more honest reporting on the issue than people who are just, you know, trying to throw something together to meet a deadline and don't know anything about the issue. And fortunately, I do have quite good relationships with many of the local news media, and they see that, you know, I'm a reasonable person that can speak intelligently, and I don't take the attacks and the ridicule seriously, so that doesn't get anywhere, you know, if they try that. And it's really evolved to become much more serious. So I feel very good about even the media coverage. There could be a little bit of a lingering temptation to, you know, still poke fun of it if it really gets talked up a lot. But they've been seeing that, you know, Rocky Mountain News, which broke this story last year, no longer exists. They've been, you know, hammered by internet news and shows like yours. You know, they have a hard time competing. So I think that they will want to be, I think they will be more respectful than they have in the past, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of people engaged in discussing this, and those are the people that are their readers and their viewers. So they can't, you know, they can't go attacking this at the risk of upsetting so many of the people that keep them in business.
Well, and again, I am going to make an admittedly biased statement, but it's my actual opinion because I've seen this in action, and that is that local media tend to be more accurate and more responsive to real news than national media do. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and Jeff, let's take this telephone call real quick because we're on the final approach. We only have a few minutes left. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike. We can barely hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can do with this phone.
All right.
One of the things, I like the idea of all this, but I've heard this before. Back in the 90s, there was a Rainbow Declaration or something of this nature. that was supposed to do the very same thing. But nothing ever came of it. And there's been time and time again when there were going to be imminent releases of information, and nothing's ever come of it. And I'm of the opinion that nothing will come of this either.
Okay, what do you say, Jeff?
Well, Mike, you just encouraged me all the more to get this on the ballot. And you can see, you know, for those that are not familiar with the ballot initiative, you can read it at extracampaign.org. Just click one of the buttons at the top that says Extraterrestrial Affairs Commission Ballot Initiative, and you can you'll get a link to read the whole thing. And the difference, again, Mike, is that you know, if somebody makes a declaration or discloses something, that's all well and good, but if the people aren't paying attention, then it really doesn't get anywhere, and you're right. But I think you'll see the difference this time is when we're on the ballot that people will really pay attention as much as if they were a juror in a trial. And this becomes like a trial in the court of public opinion, and arguments will be made for and against it, but the people will make the decision. And when they rise up to that level of being a lawmaker, they just are different. They really take their vote seriously. They really think about it. They'll read the text of the initiative, and they will deliberate much more than our elected officials do when they pass laws. So, you know, I feel that it really will be a very different kind of scenario than a rainbow declaration, which I've actually never heard of before. And that was, you know, 12 years ago. A lot's happened since then. So we'll just have to see, Mike. I'd love to have you out here so you could be part of this, but at least pay attention to the extracampaign.org website and follow it, and we'll just see what happens.
Well,
thank you for calling.
I'm all for you, Jeff, but, you know, I've been around this for over 50 years, and I've heard this stuff before.
Well, let's see what happens. I'm encouraged.
Thanks for the call. I want to read a flash message that has come in. The flash message is from Andy in Germany. It's very early in the morning there. He gets up really early, about 5 a.m., and catches the show. He says, I think that the normal city governments and even state governments don't know about the whole UFO thing. Another flash message just came in, and it covered up my screen. Okay. He said, my opinion is that these things are so confidential that the people who know and could bring evidence are not bound under any law of governments. And even your presidents were, as I know, searching for disclosure and were rejected. Well, he's right about that. That has apparently happened. That's what's been reported to us. All right, let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is John from San Diego.
Hi, John.
How you doing, Kevin?
Good.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good tonight.
Good.
But I do want to ask a question to Mr. Hickman.
Yeah, Mr. Peckman, go ahead because we're almost out of time.
You know, I spoke to Stan a couple weeks ago when he was on a show, and he sounds like there's something going on with him. I could hear it from his voice. I know he's an abductee, and I had the same problem, and I think still it's ongoing. And I have a wild idea. I know there's a lot of doubts going on about this, the whole ordeal about aliens and contacts and abductions. I'm thinking of something pretty wild, like having all the abductees get together on a cell phone for 1 hour and try to draw these people into our planet or whatever, right down here, planet Earth.
On a cell phone?
I mean, I'm sorry.
You said on a cell phone? How would you call them?
Yeah, would all of us get together on a cell phone and talk to each other about these abductions or, you know, somehow get together and draw these people in here. I mean, if the abductees, I hear some of the abductees, like my son tells me that I have some kind of a blue aura, you know, and I don't know, Stan might have some of the same other aura or Willie Schreiber or Travis Walton, you know, somehow they're drawing these things. Maybe there's a bell ringing somewhere, you know? And, yeah, that would be a wild idea and see what we've come up with. It's not going to hurt nobody, and it's not going to cost anything.
Well, why don't you organize that?
Yeah, I wish I had their numbers, you know, or at least that somebody give me a call, or some of the abductees would give me a call and let me know what they think.
Mm-hmm.
And, it might work. I mean,
you never know.
If you want to have the government to know what's going on, which I think they do know what's going on with this. And, you know, they just, I guess, it's all doubt. They got doubts in their minds, and they don't want to pursue this because they don't want to be laughed at and saying, oh, UFO, yeah, 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 yada, yada. But, hey, there's a lot of serious people out there, and something's happening to some of the people that's been in this field. And abductees are saying the same thing like everybody, every abductee has been telling everybody that there's something going on with their lives. And there's a connection here.
John, I have to run because we're almost out of time. But thank you for the call. Good idea. Give it a whirl, man. It might work. He does bring up something here, though, about, you know, these politicians, you know, they don't want to step out on this issue because they don't want people laughing at them or want people to ridicule them. Well, they are victims of the monster they created, Jeff. It was a government decision to make ridicule part of the program to discredit UFO witnesses and people who had contact with extraterrestrials. And so now they've done such a good job of embedding ridicule into society on this issue, they are now afraid of their own monster.
Right. Fortunately, the people are not. So
mm-hmm.
I think we can get the task done, and at least started in a big way.
Jeff, tell us again the web address.
It's www.extracampaign.org. Extra spelled in the normal way, E-X-T-R-A. Extracampaign.org.
All right. Now, are you going to be needing people to help you go out and collect petitions? Or
yeah,
signatures, I mean.
This is a big, big fair, and the Welcome to Earth campaign project is taking off. We've got a lot of musicians, different events coming up in June and beyond. So we'll be showing up and growing in numbers. It's just starting to take off, and it's a lot of fun already.
Can people sign up as volunteers at your website?
Yes, I think if they go to the petition page, my email address is there, jeff@extracampaign.org.
All right, now, if you are approaching me to get my signature, what do you say to me?
I'd say, would you be willing to sign a petition that would create the commission, the Extraterrestrial Affairs Commission? It's not going to cost taxpayers any money. It'll be funded by grants, gifts, and donations. And it'll basically just brief the general public on what the government knows about UFOs and extraterrestrial intelligent beings visiting us. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Need to tweak it a bit. But
okay, so whenever a person signs this, they are fully aware of what it's about and the fact that it's not going to cost anything. Jeff, stay on the line with me a moment, if you will, and I appreciate you for being willing to be on the show with us tonight. All right, folks, that's a wrap for this evening. Tomorrow, Tom Carey is going to be my guest, one of the authors of Witness to Roswell, an absolutely fantastic book. It's well documented. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.